Welcome to the Qumran Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson. I'm in the studio with my co-host, Earlene Anthony. This week, we will be talking about the Writers Guild Veterans Writers Workshop with Jim Terstra, one of the writers in the workshop. But first, I'm on the line with Jeff Norman of the Veterans Project, who will talk about the first annual Venice Stand Down coming up this Saturday, November the 17th, 2012, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Jeff, welcome to the Qumran Report.
Top of the evening to you, Melvin and Earlene and Jim.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, what's up?
What's a Terpstra? Is that what they put on the field when it starts to rain?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Now, Jeff, what is the Veterans Project? Let's start off there. Can you tell us what the Veterans Project is?
Well, it's one of those nonprofits that helps veterans but doesn't rip people off. We are very grassroots, no low budget, almost no budget, actually. And we help veterans adjust to or readjust to civilian life. Lately, we've been focusing on jobs and housing solutions. And also, we have a very heavy emphasis on the arts. We have a mentoring program for veterans who are pursuing a career in the media or entertainment field. And also, we have workshops that are of therapeutic value, even for veterans who aren't pursuing it as a career. And you know that very well, Melvin, because you teach one of the workshops.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I say
that in case you forgot.
Yeah. How long you been in existence? When did you start the Veterans Project?
Excuse me?
How long have the Veterans Project been in existence? When did it start?
Oh, geez, I'm not sure exactly. Three and a half years, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, explain to us, what is a stand down?
Well, in the military, for active duty personnel, a stand down is, you know, basically a break, a respite from combat. But the term has been used to apply to veterans in pretty much the same way. But more specifically, it's when a bunch of different veteran service providers and vendors gather in one location, and it's usually for 1, 2, or 3 days. Mm-hmm. To provide veterans with all sorts of services. And the exact services vary, and it tends to serve mostly homeless veterans, but it doesn't have to be. It's kind of an elastic term, stand down. Sometimes with the, you know, when there's providers that focus on jobs and housing, they're not necessarily homeless. But at most of these stands, I think the majority of the attendees are homeless.
Okay. Now, can you tell us about the first annual Venice stand down?
Well, sure. We're going to do it this Saturday from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Oakwood Recreation Center, which is at 767 California Avenue. And for anyone who wants to look into this further, you can get all the info just by logging on to our website, which is theveteransproject.org. So the reason we picked Venice is because a lot of homeless veterans are in that community. The first stand-down that we organized back in May was a little east of Skid Row, where there's also a lot of homeless veterans, and for the very same reason we've picked Venice. So I'm not sure how many are going to show up. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot do, because I don't think anybody has done anything. Well, I don't mean not done anything at all, but I mean it hasn't done a stand down in that community until now.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about some of the vendors? What are some of the vendors that is participating?
Well, the VA plays a pretty big role in these things, and this is the VA at its best. I mean, anybody who knows anything about veterans knows that some veterans like the VA, some don't, some have mixed feelings. But they're great when it comes to stand-downs because they help quite a bit, but they don't try to run the show, and they understand that not everybody trusts the VA, and so, you know, there's plenty of other service providers there apart from the VA. We're going to have, just for give you a few examples, the USC School of Dentistry will be there giving free dental exams.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have acupuncture, massage. There's going to be job counseling and referrals from the employment, the EDD, the what's that? The Employment Development Department. We're going to have the Jewish Family Service of Los Angeles, which offers a volunteer program for veterans to help veterans who need help, and also for veterans who want to be volunteers, and they get paid to do that.
Mm-hmm. Bing.
So, pardon me?
I said Bing. Paid. Go on, I'm
paid.
Sorry.
Paid. Is that the Terpstra?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I couldn't keep my mouth shut. Go on.
So the other thing I want to mention is that this particular stand down is co-sponsored by Councilman Bill Rosendahl, mm-hmm. who is a veteran himself. He's a great supporter of veterans, and unfortunately, he was recently diagnosed with cancer.
Mm.
And because of his health situation, he's decided not to run for re-election. So he's nearing the end of his service. Hopefully he'll have many more years to live and he'll recover, but he has decided not to run again. So for that reason, he's certainly, it's the end of his service as a city councilman. And we're going to pay tribute to him at this stand-down sometime in the noon to 2 p.m. range.
Yeah, he's
before or after or during lunch.
Yeah, he's a great advocate for helping veterans. What are your overall thoughts on homeless veterans? Why so many veterans are homeless?
Well, you know, a lot of us who do this kind of work are sort of frustrated that, you know, even though these stand-downs are very helpful, there isn't more being done in the way of long-term solutions. So that's really the ultimate goal, is mm-hmm. to, you know, end homelessness. There really should be no such thing as a homeless veteran. And it's, you know, it's easier said than done, but, you know, we are really trying to come up with innovative solutions. And, you know, we have some housing ourselves, the Veterans Project, where we're mixing the arts and job training with housing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our big goal is we want to have veterans villages developed around the country. These would be very large projects where there's a mixture of veterans and non-veterans and various services right there on the location.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that these could also be sort of laboratories for solving some of our societal problems, because a lot of these veterans, you know, aren't, you know, they're pretty well adjusted, actually. They don't all need help. Many of them are ones who are in a position to help everybody else. And they have a unique skill set, you know, sometimes based on their military training that could be applied to the civilian sector.
That's right.
So that's really the big goal, is to find a way for the veteran and non-veteran community to cooperate and help each other.
Yeah, to coexist. And also, let me ask you this, just a couple more little things. Are you familiar with a group called the Banished Veterans?
Called the what?
Banished Veterans.
No.
Okay, the Banished Veterans, we talked to some of them a couple weeks ago on the radio show. Our veterans are honorably discharged veterans who get out of the service. And because of the traumatic situation inside of the military, they get involved with the criminal justice system. And because they haven't become a citizen yet, then they are deported after they do their time. And they form an organization right across the border called the Banished Veterans, a bunch of them. I'll send you some information about it. But they've been also trying to establish a stand down, either just across the border in the United States, San Diego, or over in Mexico. And I told them that I would send, try to put you in touch with them, because most of them It go all the way back from the Vietnam veterans, Iraqi veterans, et cetera, like that.
But, right, okay, well, please do. You know, hey, if they put their lives in the line for us, we should help them at
okay.
this point.
Now, do you have a question for Jim?
Jim, was it difficult for you to hold your tongue for the last few minutes?
Oh, my gosh. it's like going on a walk. I just can't stop talking.
Right. Okay. Now, I don't really have any questions for Jim other than he's a very talented guy. Yeah. And, we're willing to help all veterans, you know, but it's rare when someone is not only, you know, interested in the arts, but is as talented as Jim is.
Yeah.
So he's kind of our poster child, even though he misbehaves a lot.
he have a question for you, too, Jim. Do you have a question for Jeff?
Well, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there that are homeless, veterans that are homeless, and obviously non-veterans. And this is a great place to be homeless.
If you have to be homeless, you might as well be where the weather's nice.
Oh, of course, of course. And it's tough for me to walk downtown here, which I do every day. And actually see the homeless, and whether they're veterans or not. I ran into a veteran over by this supermarket a couple times, and he told me his story and how he wanted to get treatment. But he didn't seem like he actually wanted to have a home. He seemed like he was comfortable being homeless. So does that bring the question out of, are we having the problem with the homeless and the homeless just want to be homeless? I don't know.
Well, that's a good question. I'm not really an expert on that. You know, and the veterans, it's not really the role of the Veterans Project plays, which we're trying to develop, you know, housing projects. But from the people that deal more directly with the homeless, yeah, that's what they say. A lot of these folks really don't have the desire to get off the street. So it's, you know, part of the task is convincing them to, take some steps towards having a productive life. And, you know, they get very comfortable out there.
Well, I was considered homeless last year. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, up until May or April of this year. And I didn't want to have a home. I wanted to stick it to the man or something. I was pissed off about something, mm-hmm. you know, and that's one of the things that I have been able to take advantage of with the Veterans Project, because the Veterans Project and Jeff actually was one of the ones that actually pulled me out of a depression, which could have led to a lot more. Mm-hmm. It was just.
Well,
what's that?
No, I was just going to say I'm glad we did that. I'm glad that's what the effect was, but it just happened. You know, in other words, I don't want to misrepresent what our role is. You were somebody who was interested in the arts, and you know, I recognized your talent and encouraged you to pursue that, and I'm glad that it lifted your depression.
The biggest thing that I want to tell the listeners is that those little flyers that are out there, because it was just a little flyer that I found in the worst possible time of my life. An acting class put up through the Veterans Project, and I called Jeff. And it wasn't all through Jeff, but a lot of it was through Jeff, because the veteran, the VA, they really do a lot of stuff slow. And it's because they're a government entity. And it's because they've been around for so many years and so many laws and policies have been band-aided over and over and over the top. I believe one of the sayings that's written on the wall is like 1870 to 1890, 40% of the federal budget was going towards pensions for veterans from the Civil War. Hmm. And obviously, there was no taxes back then or whatever was going on, but it was still a big chunk. And projects like the Veterans Project has the flexibility to make decisions faster than the VA.
No doubt.
Which is exactly what I needed at that time. Mm-hmm. Which is exactly what these veterans need at this time with this stand down.
That's right.
It's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's true. The other thing is that we help you get involved in stuff that you're interested in, which, you know, people don't think of that as therapy, but it has some of the same effects. And this is true of anybody, not only veterans. You know, there's an old saying, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and go do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we help you do something that makes you come alive. Sometimes that's more valuable or at least equally valuable to traditional therapy.
Okay, Jeff. Hey, thank you very much.
You're saying you're bored with me already?
Thank you, Jeff. We're looking forward to the stand down this Saturday coming over to the beautiful city of Venice. And this... Thank you, Jeff.
And Erlene is confirmed to attend, right?
No, Erlene. Go ahead, Erlene.
I will be at the, United Way of Greater Los Angeles. They're having their home walk this weekend with Kobe Bryant as the honorary chair. You know, the 5K, 5 walk run?
I'm sure it's important, but I'm inconsolable.
It is. and I also have a group that I'm going to be on a team with the Peace Kids.
Yeah.
All right. I'll reluctantly grant you an exemption.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Melvin. I love you. Take care, Arlene. I love you. Jim, okay. I'm mildly fond of you.
See you, buddy.
See you, Sam.
Take care. Bye.
That's Jeff Norman, head of the Veterans Project. Now, I'm delighted to have with us in the studio, you heard him a little early, Jim Terpstra. He's a veteran and part of the Writers Guild Writers Workshop, where veterans are mentored by professional television writers and screenwriters. Jim, welcome to the Coon Brown Report.
How's it going?
Now, tell us a little about yourself and how did you get into writing?
You know, getting into writing, I was always somebody that liked to put together a puzzle. And writing really seemed to be putting together a puzzle, how you phrase things, how you structure things in order to make them funny. The punch word at the end of the sentence instead of, you know, in the middle somewhere or things like that. I was stationed overseas in Italy on a ship for a couple of years, and this was back in the back in 89 to 91. There wasn't email or anything like that. A lot of board time, so we wrote letters. I wrote a lot of letters to friends, and they seemed to affect them somehow. Mm-hmm. When I write a letter now to friends, it's a pretty big thing because nobody gets letters anymore from people.
Right.
So it's something that I found over the years as a deadly weapon that I had in order to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Tell us this. How did you end up in the military? Tell us about how that happened.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. All right. Well, there was a test that they take. I think it was called the ASVAB. And we could get out of class for 3 periods if we went and took this class or took this test. And I went, took the test, and not really caring about it whatsoever, I did pretty good on it. And the recruiter called, of course, and I'm a sucker for sales. I'm the one that you see with the no solicitation signs on there because I will buy every time. And, you know, until today, it's been a problem. I got to really watch out for everybody because everybody is worried about taking money out of your pocket and putting it into theirs.
Yeah.
So I've ran into a lot of.
So this was in high school while you was in high school?
This is in high school. I figured that college wasn't right for me at the time.
Yeah.
I would sign up for 6 years. I got to go over to the Mediterranean and see a lot of the place.
So you went into the Navy?
I was in the Navy, yeah.
Yeah, I tell you, if I had been in the Navy, or I say it all the time, I mean, if I had been in the Navy or the Air Force, I would have probably retired in it because I ended up in the Marines, and I couldn't wait to get up out of the way from the job.
You know, they say there's three navies, the Air Navy, the Submarine Navy, and the Surface Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And you really have to be good.
Explain those three.
Yeah, really have to. You have to be dead nuts on with the Air Navy. Because if anything goes wrong in the air, you go down.
Yeah.
Okay? Anything goes wrong in the submarine, you go down. Anything goes wrong in the ship, you just keep floating along. You know? So I did a lot of painting, mm-hmm. For as much time as I signed up for.
Now, let me ask you this. What is your writing style and what is your process for creating?
Oh, writing, my writing style is just collect as many thoughts as that comes to me. Mm-hmm. Inspiration strikes at any moment. I always have some paper and pen involved at all times, and it's gotten to be neurotic. It's a pain in the butt because you got to write everything down and you got to analyze it and go from there.
Yeah.
Then you take those ideas and throw them together and smooth them out to a nice idea.
Mm-hmm. Now you know me as a writer also, and I'm in the Veterans Writers Workshop also. I used to do the same thing. I used to keep a little notepad and just write every little thought down. And I found now the thing that became more efficient for me. Is I keep me a little small tape recorder now.
Yep.
I have that little tape recorder. I break that out and I get every little thoughts and like, talking to myself. And it's nice when you play it back also. Let me ask you this. How do you use your military experience for your writing?
Wow. My military experience. It's just like any other part of life. It was 6 years of my life that gave me experiences. Mm-hmm. Just like when I went to college, just when I was married, just when I raised my child. It gave me experience. It gave me a different outlook on life than I had before.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of jobs I was hired for because I was ex-military because they thought you tell them what to do and they will do it. Mm-hmm. As a military person. Unfortunately, that wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
I got in trouble for that in the military. I got trouble in that out of the military. Mm-hmm. My writing style is quite the same.
Mm-hmm.
If people don't like it, I don't care because it's really for me. I'm trying to figure out myself. I'm trying to figure out who I am. Mm-hmm. And that's...
As a writer?
As a writer and as a person. Mm-hmm. My writing's for me, mm-hmm. to help me figure out who I am. Over this last year, I have been able to find out a lot about myself because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has done me wonder. greatness for this.
Well, let me ask you this. First of all, did you do much writing while you was in the military? I know you spoke a little earlier about writing.
Just a lot of letters. Yeah. I would write letters to maybe, I want to say, 20 people.
Yeah.
And also they would get postcards. But on the postcards, I would write the same exact thing. I got caught one time.
Like 20 different people that you would write letters to on a regular basis.
Right. And, you know, we're talking about 18, 19, 20-year-olds trying to write back a letter to somebody. And, you know, they're in college or they're doing other things. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to do that.
Have you had a chance to collect any of those letters that you wrote?
So on my 20th high school graduation party, I did get one of the postcards back.
Yeah. The amazing thing, when I was in the Marines and I used to write my mom's all the time, and she saved absolutely every one of those letters that I wrote her. She still have them down there. It's amazing. I wrote this. Wow. I must have been out of it. Now, let me ask you this. What is the hardest part of being a writer?
It's so boring. Mm-hmm. You know...
You mean isolation, being by yourself, just
isolation,
you and your mind?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love, the reason I want to become a writer or want to be a writer is because of all the funny people in a writer's room.
Yeah.
Because I like to laugh. That's all I want to do is laugh with people. It doesn't mean I don't have to be a writer.
Yeah.
To have a bunch of buddies but nobody my age is just hanging out like they did in their 20s.
Yeah.
And that's really all I want to do.
Hey, but you know, for me as a writer, the hardest part of being a writer is that it's too easy. I find it too easy sometimes.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
That's the hardest
part. Really? Why is it easy for you?
I have to slow myself down from being so prolific in terms of basically writing what I want. I guess it comes from writing for such a long time over a period of time. When I found out I liked to write plays and poetry and stuff like that, you know. And I find it's just letting yourself go, like what you're doing now, writing down your thoughts and getting it on paper and then going back and you find yourself editing that.
Oh, it was awesome.
If you don't get it down on the paper, you lose that creative thought. I learned that a long time ago. Had a creative thought that you think that you can keep and then you don't write it down.
It's gone. Yeah. Gone. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've sit in my chair and wrote for 12 hours straight. Mm-hmm. And just idea after idea, just silly thought after silly thought going, mm-hmm. you know, wherever. Mm-hmm. And what I get out of that, who knows? I'm not sure exactly, but mm-hmm. it helped me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me ask you this. And then we'll take the break for the community calendar. What are some of the things you think can make the Veterans Writers Workshop better? The one that we involve with the Writers Guild.
Oh, geez, you know, that's so hard because my sister was called the general when she was in college, and if nobody takes over, she grabs onto the leash. Mm-hmm. If I grabbed onto the leash, I don't know what I could do with that thing. Mm-hmm. But it's one time a month is not enough for me. Mm-hmm. I don't get to know the people. I don't get to laugh with the people. I don't get silly with the people, which I need in order to open up. And it takes a little bit while.
So the good point, the first thing is to meet more often than once a month.
I believe so. Mm-hmm. For me. for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to come back. Let's take a break for our community calendar, and then we'll come back and get it into another little deeper discussion.
You betcha.
This is the community calendar for the month of November. Every Tuesday from 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., the Veterans Community Workshop is being held. And this workshop is open to veterans and non-veterans. The location is the Vortex, 2341 East Olympic Boulevard, Los Angeles, California. This is near the corner of Olympic and Santa Fe. Also, the MTA bus number 60 and 66 stops right at or near the corner. If you want to participate in the workshop or for more information, you can contact 213-908-6587. Saturday, November the 17th, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., Councilman Bill Rosenthal and the Veterans Project presents the first annual stand down. The location is at the Oakwood Recreation Center, 767 California Avenue in Venice, California. And this will be the first annual stand down for Venice. Some of the services available will be medical, dental exam, legal advice, counseling, housing, job referrals from the EDD department, massage, acupuncture, clothing, hygiene giveaway, eye care, and much, much more. For more information on this, you can contact www.theveteransproject.org. Saturday, November the 17th, this is a fundraising event to help in the homeless. United Way of Greater Los Angeles 2012 is having a home walk event. It's a 5K, 5 walk run. And this is to end homelessness. Registration begins at 7 a.m. and the location is Exposition Park, 700 Exposition Park Drive, Los Angeles, California. And Colby Bryant is the honorary chairperson of this event. If you have a community event that you would like announced on our show, send the information to dramastage1@yahoo.com, attention Earlene Anthony. And our call-in number for the show is 800-893-9562. Now back to our host.
Okay, thank you, Miss Earlene Anthony. Okay, we have a call online. Who am I speaking with?
Mr. James Gordley.
Hey, James, how you doing? Good to hear from you.
You know, it's a beautiful day in the world today.
Yeah.
How's been you veterans and everybody down there and everybody today?
Yeah, we're fine. You're a veteran right here. Do you have a question for us for our guest, Jim? Or?
Oh, yes, sir. If any of them have volunteered their time for education at all?
We're all trying to get into some aspect of education. You're talking about education in terms of...
you know where I'm at, Mel, so you know the question I'm coming. Any way they can... If any of them involved with any of their community, their centers, or any of that, and the helping of education of the young people that's coming up now, this generation, that's where, you know, I'm at, Mel, you know, with you, is that, you know, and, you know, I kind of listen to the program on my cell phone, you know, but still, yet, you know, that's a number one priority, that and all the things that veterans can do to give back from the battle side, also from the mental side, you know.
Yeah.
Of their lives, too, you know. That's what I'm talking about, is the education. Do any of the young men do that? And, you know, I hold a President Unit citation.
I know, and we're going to talk about you in a minute. But, Jim, you want
to... I would definitely love to do that, and that's one of the reasons I came in today, is to push that. I wish I could be out there helping everybody. I wish I could do that, but I can't for some reason. I was diagnosed with PTSD last year. And I have been trying to get through to see exactly how people take how people accept people with PTSD. I don't want to hurt anybody with my anger, with my mental issues. So I really want to stay away from people. I don't want to scare them into anything. Mm-hmm. I want people to know, I want veterans to know that they should be getting into the VA to get themselves checked out. I want, actually, the biggest thing I want people to know is the people that are still in the military to keep their health records up to date. Because
That's right.
Once you're out, you know, they're not responsible for you anymore.
That is correct.
You come in a good person, you go out a bad person, you want to make sure that's in there. Mm-hmm. And I know the stigma involved in order to keep people, the machismo, what am I trying to say here? You don't want to tell anybody that you're a not a man. And mostly that if you did that, the rest of your career would be bad. But you got to get that into your medical record. Otherwise, the VA can't take care of you later.
What do you think, Mr. Gorgon?
I'll say this to the young person. Young man, I have all the symptoms you have, Agent Orange, you know, I'm blind, you know, I've had it all. But the thing that you got that I love that nobody can take is, what was your MOS? What was you trained in? Can you use that knowledge in your head right now to train another young person of that knowledge that you... You know what the government spends on every soldier to train the best in the world? And matter of fact, they had an article where a medical corpsman came back from the combat zone and had to take the state test to get qualified to become a emergency, what they call them, the emergency guys. You know, he had to do that. He's well qualified. He didn't come. Why would he come back here to take the state test to become something that he has already done in combat? There's a lot there, you know, issues with me, but my issues are, it's the knowledge that the veterans hold, you know, in their heads and the training that they could pass that on. And for you putting all the medical information into the government system, I want to say this, sir, on the air to you. And you can look this up, and I'll bring proof to you, sir. And I've been waiting since 1973. You hear me? For the government to pay me. This is 2012, and I just had my first court in August the 9th of this year. So you say all was good, and the veteran is good for us, but I say this to you. They're lacking in a whole lot of places. This is technology time. They got the money. Give it to us.
Hold it.
You gave your country 100%. You gave it to them, fair and square. But when I come home, I ain't got no help hardly. I got to almost beg. And I'm talking about, I'm a Vietnam veteran. And I'm still begging Uncle Sam to pay me.
That's exactly what you have to do. All right.
Yeah, but he's waiting
in order for me to get the benefits that I had, because I didn't have it in my record when I left the military. Okay,
that is correct. That is correct.
You have to beg for your benefits.
That's right, and it's unfair that a brother.
It's not unfair. Mm-hmm. It's only not unfair. The reason it's not unfair, okay, is because there's been so many Band-Aids over the veterans, the VA project.
Got that right.
Okay.
Right.
Unless we fix greed in capitalism,
this stuff is not going to change.
Mm-hmm. That's just the bottom line.
It isn't going to change. And I'll say this. I'll say this to your face and also to your guests and also to who's listening. Obama has did the best thing for the veterans. He's one of the very few presidents that's looking at us to help us. We've been waiting 35 years for some of the stuff that he's injected into the policy of the Veterans Administration. And that's one thing I have to admit straight up. Besides that, I'm through with that issue. But for what you're saying, they need to stop all this messing around. You know, they use all this paperwork. They use the red tape. They double this. They know what's wrong with us when we come. You can turn us on to kill somebody, but when we come home, you can't turn me off. Something wrong there.
Okay, Mr. Guard, you know I'm we're going to roll on, but you know I'm waiting to get you back in the studio now.
I know, but you know I'm the biggest advocate in the world. But I'm going to say this to you, my sir.
Yeah.
Mel, I want to say all the brothers and sisters that's make this country well and free, the greatest word that any soldier can be thankful is for the word freedom. When you tell me thank you for my freedom, that means more to me and say, I thank you. You tell me what you're thanking me for. And like I say to all the veterans, hey, thank you for your love. Thank you for your life. Thank you for my country. And good night, everybody. God bless America.
Okay,
good
thank
night.
You. Thank you, Mr. Goykin. Looking forward to talking to you.
Oh, you know me, and you're going to talk.
All right, then. Have
good
a good night.
Good night, sir.
Right. Okay, now we're back here, talking to Jim. I want to move right along. The next question I want to ask is, what is the biggest challenge veterans face trying to adjust back to civilian life? Let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, I worked for a company called Logistics Health International, LHI, for a while before I was fired for being a snot. But what they did, or part of what they did, was PDHRA, post-deployment health reassessment. They do that 6 months after you come back from deployment. They do when you come back from deployment, they do a post-deployment health assessment instead of a reassessment. When you come back, all you want to do is go see your family. So you're going to tell them anything they need to know in order to let you go. If you tell them you have a mental problem, you might think that they're going to keep you. So you tell them you're fine. 6 months later, you might come back and you come back and see that the family that you created before you left is not the same. You come back and you feel that you see the nightmares or anything that's going wrong. You're able to go back and get a reassessment and saying, hey, there is something wrong. I feel that people need to have it in their records because you might be in for 4 years, you might be in for 6 or 8 or 10, but the rest of your life, they have to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the best way to fight our country is to bring out the real cost of war, which is making sure everybody that has problems surface these problems. So we know how much it actually costs.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, you know, the little effects.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you a couple more things. What are your thoughts on women in the military?
Ah, they're fine. They're fine.
Yeah.
No problems there. Gays in the military, no problem.
Yeah.
No problem whatsoever.
Okay, well, what about the problem that they experienced? They just had a report out about all of the assault and stuff that that females go through in the military that they are dealing with.
I don't know the numbers. I've not seen it. I've had a buddy that said when a tender left for a 9-month cruise going to the Mediterranean, they came back with 40% pregnant. But I don't know the numbers. I don't know anything. I know there's a lot of women out there that have more testosterone than I do.
Well, let me ask you this.
So,
what do you think about? There's a lot of complaints that women want to be in the combat zone, the fighting and getting into the combat zone. What do you think about that?
I have no problem with that.
Okay, let's move on to what are your thoughts about, let's talk about the homeless problem for veterans here, the homeless veterans problem.
I don't know the numbers of homeless veterans compared to compared to homeless regular out there.
LA is about 9,000.
There's a lot of crazy people out there. Mm-hmm. A lot of them don't want to have the responsibilities of being tied down to anything.
Mm-hmm.
The freedom that they get out on the streets, they seem to like. You always hear stories of people that are making more money than the average out on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
To pull themselves all the way up, that'd be a hell of a story. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see everybody in a house, but I don't think a lot of them
want to be there. Yeah,
I really don't.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Look, let me get a contact information for the Writers Guild Veterans Writers Workshop for veterans who are interested in finding out about it. The person's email, Kevin Ott, is kott@wga.org. The phone number is 323-782-4694. Now, let's get to some closing comments. I want to get to some closing comments from you, Jim. Anything you want to talk about here? Talk a little bit more about your writings.
You know, it's the writing is just a way to find out about myself.
Uh-huh.
I sat in a room since April with no internet, no TV, no air conditioning, and in a place where nobody spoke English.
Mm.
And I was...
What was that like?
That's kind of like being out of the country. That's kind of being someplace odd. Someplace where you get introspective, mm-hmm. in which I did. And it took quite a while in order to do that.
Yeah.
So
go ahead, Jim.
I don't know if that's for everybody.
Yeah.
But my dream was always to have a family, the 3-car garage. You know, I grew up in Wisconsin, so we got 3-car garages. We got huge houses compared to places around Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. 3-car garage, the 2 kids, everything like that. The American experience that I had when I was a kid growing up in Wisconsin. You know, we had 2 boats as a kid. They weren't new boats, but they were good enough to be out on the water, on the Mississippi River. We had so much more than I was able to give my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say the military took that away from me, but it took a lot away from me. I don't feel like I need to be paid back, but I think that's just me. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people out there that want to be paid back. when I was, when it was Desert Storm, back in 1989, we were on a ship, and a lot of the guys were scared. And we had a three-star admiral aboard. It wasn't like we were going to get anyplace close to the action, you know. And this is when we were just dumping bombs all over the place. And we were just sitting off the in the Mediterranean, opening up the Suez Canal. And a lot of guys were like, I don't want to die. I didn't sign up for this. I just want the college benefits. And I was thinking, hey, you signed up. The bottom line is you gave your life. Mm-hmm. If it happens to be taken, that's the way you signed up. Then if you make it through, you get the benefits. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't understand that from people. If it was always just take, 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 and no give. So... Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm really trying to figure out what I want to do with the rest of my life.
Let me ask you this. Let's, because we're getting ready to wind down.
Sure.
We got a few more minutes left. What do you hope to get out of the Veterans Writings Workshop at the Writers Guild?
A better way to get to the point. A better way to... get my ideas out on the paper. A better way to communicate. I've got so much information that was inside my head, now out on pieces of paper and things like that. And great for the computer in order to look up everything that you can, but massaging it together into just a polished piece is what I want to learn from them. Mm-hmm. And they have really taught me how to put together a movie, how to put together a sitcom, how to put together a drama. It's amazing how much that they've taught me over this last year. Mm-hmm. So...
Okay, Jim, I think we're going to wind down here. I would like to extend a special thanks to my co-host, Earlene Anthony, my in-studio guest, Jim Terpstra, on the line with Jeff Norman from the Veterans Project. And I'd like to mention again that this coming Saturday from 8 o'clock to 2 o'clock, the veterans, the first annual Venice Stand Down will be held, and it's at the Oakwood Recreation Center, 767 California Avenue, Venice, California. And we mentioned earlier, so come on out and support this event by the Veterans Project. So please check out the past shows of the Coonrown Report on iTunes, Facebook, skidrow.la, and dramastage-coonrown.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Coonrown Report. And from your host, Melvin Ishmael Johnson, may the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and up on your family. Thank you very much.